Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 is probably a verse that most, if not all of us, could quote. It's a verse that we've grown up hearing. It's a verse that I grew up hearing. And I never heard the context preached. I don't know why. Maybe I wasn't listening. You know, I'll take the blame. But I don't know about you, but I saw this a few years ago, just a few years ago, and I got excited. And, you know, when you do something that you love, we know the verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It says need, not greed. But every one of us here tonight has need. Some are financial, some are spiritual, some are physical, some are emotional. Some may even be mental. But I've heard this preached my entire life, and I finally saw in context. What is God saying when he says he shall? That's a promise. Not might, not maybe, but shall. So if God hasn't supplied all your need, why? Let's ask God's help, shall we, for the few minutes we have remaining. Father, I thank you for what you've done over the years in this church. Lord, I know every church has ups and downs. Good times and hard times. Lord, I know that within every church that's trying to hold fast, that's trying to resist the sway and the push and the siren call of compromise, that there's always going to be battles. But God, I pray that you would help this church to remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set up. God, we live in a day where we try to substitute programs for your power. Lord, we try to substitute compromise for conviction. And because we say the old way doesn't work anymore, it's not that the old way doesn't work. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word is the same. And Lord, you've called us to hold fast, to stand firm. Lord, to come out from among them, the world, and be separate. Oh, how separation is a forgotten and discarded truth in our day. God, I pray that you would preserve this lighthouse, because the only victory is in truly Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you told us, occupy till I come. God, you told us what to do, how to do it, and you told us thy word is truth, and it is the truth that makes free. Not compromise, not casting away of convictions, but the truth. And even in a day when truth is not loved, truth is discarded, the truth has fallen in the streets of America. God, I pray that this church would stand in the gap, that you would raise up the next generation with a heart for holiness, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Because God, if the churches will not hold the line here in America, what shall we do who are on the other side of the world, depending on these churches to stay faithful and stay steadfast? God, help us tonight as we look at your word. It must be thy spirit that works through thy word. And we will be sure to give thee alone the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Help us now. Amen. You know, God's love is unconditional. Amen? Wow. I would have thought at least more than two might believe that. God's love is unconditional. You can be the sorriest old dog and just absolutely just kick your convictions to the curb and God's still going to love you. But that doesn't mean he's going to bless you. God's love is unconditional, but his blessings are conditional. He told his children, the apple of his eye, the Israelis, the Jewish nation, he said, if you follow my commandments, I'll bless you. I'll make you the head, not the tail. But he said, if you don't, I'll what? That's what he said. He said he'd curse them. That's strong words. But, you know, any parent that understands child rearing understands that you do not reward bad behavior. unless you want to get more bad behavior. That's why our nation's becoming a welfare nation, because it makes sense not to work anymore. Right? And we can get all upset about it, but as long as we're going to reward people for not working, they're not going to work. And if you give the kid the candy bar because he throws a fit, guess what you teach him? Throwing a fit pays a dividend. God loves you no matter what. Praise the Lord. But this promise that God will supply all your need, it's your, first of all. I love the old King James Bible because you don't have to know any languages or whatever, but anytime you see a T, it's talking to an individual. Thee, thine, thyself, thou. You say, boy, that's archaic. We don't talk like that anymore. I know, but it's telling you that that is singular. When he says thy, thou, thyself, thee, that's talking to an individual. When it's a why, you, your, ye, that's a group. It's plural. The Spanish has it. Spanish has singular and plural. The Greek has it, singular and plural. But in modern English, we can say, I'm glad to see you, or I'm glad to see you. Right? So you can be singular or plural, but not in the old King James Bible. Amen. So he says, my God shall supply all your. That's plural. Who's he talking to? Well, you go back to chapter 1. It's this church that Paul planted at Philippi. By the way, that was a rough church plant. The church was planted in the furrows of the stripes on his back. Yes. Amen. When he was whipped and thrown into jail with Silas. Yeah. And they did not complain. Well, God, we're just doing what you told us to do, and now look, we're all beaten, thrown in jail. What? No. The power didn't fall until the praise, through the pain, was lifted to the high King of heaven, the potentate. And that's when the power came. When they praised through the pain. And a church was born. And Lydia got saved. And the Philippian jailer got saved. And now Paul's writing to this church that was birthed out of a tremendous trial. And what does he tell them? He says some really interesting things. He says in verse 10 that their care flourished. Boy. If you have a garden or if you have a green thumb and you have some plants in your house, you like them to flourish, don't you? Now, there was a drought here not long ago, right? The hay didn't flourish. People were stealing hay, they told me. And then the next year, bumper crop, right? Hay everywhere. Now you can see it rotten because it flourished. Hey, Paul said, your care of me, it wasn't casual care. It flourished. Can I ask you a question? Do you know the names of your missionaries? Maybe not all their kids, especially if they have 10. They have to have one of those memory palaces they were telling me about, you know. But do you know at least the last names of your missionaries? Because see, we're human and out of sight, out of. And life is so frenzied and frantic and there's just so much running to and fro. Kind of, I read that in a book somewhere. Knowledge increasing. And sometimes we might forget that there's people all around the world that are coveting your care. I'm not talking about money or things. They did that for Paul. But Paul, he didn't say, brethren, send us a care package. He said, brethren, pray for us. Because when you're on the front line and you've got witch doctors in your town, you need prayer. I thought I might get one amen out of that. Do you guys have witch doctors here? You might, you just might not know about it. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned. This is something God has to teach you. In whatsoever state I am. That's not talking about Missouri or Texas. Therewith to be content. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Well, we like the abounding part. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full. Amen, said the Baptist. And to be hungry. Crickets. Both to abound and to suffer need. And then the next thing Paul says, we quote this verse all the time, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That includes being abased and suffering need and being hungry. Isn't that what we just read? Do we believe the book? But sometimes, when we are in that situation where God is allowing something to abase us, are we content? In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, in everything. But we quote that all the time. I can do all things through Christ. He just got done saying, I suffer need. Notwithstanding, verse 14, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Boy, we have so many ways to communicate nowadays, don't we? They had no Twitter, no Facebook, no email in Paul's day. How did they communicate? Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, this was going back to the early days of the ministry, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, here's how they communicated. Communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and receiving. Folks, listen, I'm serious. I'm not here to raise funds tonight. God's going to take care of us. But can I say something? Your missionaries appreciate what you do concerning giving and receiving. Listen, it's not insignificant what you do for missions. It's critical. It's part of the mission. The great co-mission. Co-com means together. We're laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians tells us. We're ambassadors for Christ. There's a mission to accomplish. But if we've lost sight of the mission, boy, can you imagine? They send the sniper in. They send the soldier in. They send the elite team in. And they go in and then we lose communication. What happened to them? How's the mission going? And Command Central's trying to get them up on the radio. What's going on? They're not, their position's lost. We don't have them on the satellite. Everything's down. What's going on? And finally the communication comes through. And they're sipping coffee at the cafe in Afghanistan. How's the commander going to react? Well, I'm just so glad you're having a good time, men. No. You see, the military has a strategy. They've got a mission, and it takes communication, and it takes strategy, and it takes giving and receiving. If you look, there's a great analogy here with the military and with the mission God's given us. You see, we've got to send specialists out. You don't send somebody that's not trained to Afghanistan to go fight the Taliban, right? And we shouldn't send those to the front lines of the mission field if they're not trained. But those that have been trained and those that have gone, they need communication. And not only does he say they communicated concerning giving and receiving, but it was regular. It was constant. It was consistent. Look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So it wasn't just casual. It was consistent. Can I tell you something? Your missionaries may not be here tonight, but I can tell you they appreciate your consistency. But can I also beg you that they don't just want a check in the mail every month. They appreciate that. But if they could be here tonight, they would say with Paul, brethren, pray for us. Because that check in the mail, it's necessary to feed the children and to plant the churches and to do the ministry. But it's not going to do anything about the Gaboon vipers and the spitting cobras and the witch doctors. That takes the power of God. And they need you to have your part of the mission in your heart and in your passion that you say, we are a vital part of this mission. And it was when the church was praying that it began to grow and expand. And it was when they were praying at Antioch and fasting. I know that's almost a taboo word in Baptist churches. In case you forgot, fasting is when we stop eating for a period of time. Yes, Baptists start to fast too. Jesus didn't say if ye fast, he said when ye fast. Right? And your part of the mission is critical. It's mission critical. But boy, if we're watching the latest show or we've got our faces, you know, a guy pulled out a gun on the subway the other day and nobody saw him because they're all like this. And they got it on video. He's like, what? He's got his gun and nobody cares. They're in War of Worldcraft or whatever they, you know, World of Warcraft. I don't know. We can get distracted, can't we? You know how kids are, right? You can talk to them. They can even be looking your general direction. But you can tell the message isn't getting through. Sometimes I think God feels the same way about his children. You got my message sitting in your lap. But it's not getting through. I love verse 17. It's on every prayer card. It's on our missions display back there. It's my theme verse as a missionary. My life verse is 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which thou hast heard of me among faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. That's the only way it's going to get done. How do you know if you're faithful? You're taking what you learn and you're giving it to someone else. Dads, are you taking what you're learning and giving it to your kids? Your wife? Are you telling other people, hey, guess what I learned at church this week? You say, they think I'm crazy. They already think you're crazy. If you live biblically, they already think you're crazy. So don't worry about that. Just tell them. Just get the message out there. We're not responsible for who listens. We're just responsible to tell. We're not responsible if they hear. We're just responsible to sow the seed, which is the word of God. Not, can you read it with me? I just love this verse. I'd love to hear us all read it together. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Somebody emphasize that. That's how my mom would do it. Amen. To your account. Hey, it's a bad deal when the account's gone, right? You know, every one of us here knows what that's like, don't we? When the account's just there's almost nothing left, or maybe it's gone, the bank account, right? Is that a happy feeling? But this isn't an earthly account. This is a spiritual account. And this account has nothing to do with the stock market. Amen. This account has nothing to do with the world markets. It doesn't matter what goes up, what goes down, the S&P 500. It doesn't matter. Because this is a heavenly account. And this is drawing eternal interest. And you know what I love about this is Paul says, what we're doing on the mission field, it's fruit to your account. Do you realize that when someone gets saved, when someone gets discipled, when your missionaries are out there serving God, what they are doing is fruit to your account. If you are part of the missions giving of this church. It's not blessing by osmosis. Well, I just happen to be in the general vicinity of someone who gave to missions. So it's just going to spill over on me. I mean, this is just right here. Fruit to your account. Well, that, to me, that's exciting. Because when we die, what is in our Chase or Bank of America or whatever doesn't go with us. It's like the man who died and he told his wife, I'm just afraid, you know, somebody will marry you for my money, so I just put it all in my casket when I die. She said, yes, yes, honey, I will. She said, just put it in the casket. She said, I'll put it in the casket. Afterwards, her friends had heard about it. After a while, they said, well, Shirley, did you do it? She said, absolutely. You did? She said, every penny. I just deposited the money in my account and wrote him a check for every last penny. Put that check right in the... You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. The check never got cashed. That's the whole point of the joke. That's why we laugh. If that really had happened. You know? But there is an account that is eternal. Eternal. But you have a limited number of seconds. Right? The older you get, the more you realize. You know, remember the games that had the little hourglass, you know? Remember those hourglasses? I know that's an ancient piece of technology. Some of you may remember an hourglass. Young people, they have apps for that. You want an hourglass, you can get the hourglass app. And it's digital sand running down, and it's running out. Hey, our time's running out. Our time's running out. The trump could blow any minute. If the trump doesn't blow, we're all going to die. Hate to tell you this, nobody makes it out alive unless the trump blows. And when the sand runs out, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Well, we've got to move on. He says in verse 18, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, one missionary got a package from home, and he was so excited. This was a few years ago. But he had to pay $100 duty to get the package. And he opened it up to find broken crayons and pencils with no erasers, like somebody had cleaned out the desks at the Christian school and threw it all in a shoebox. And he had to pay $100 to get somebody's junk. My kids sing a song, "Any old thing will do for you. Any old thing will do." Listen, missionaries are grateful, but can I encourage you, just don't send broken crayons. I used to cut the buttons off, like somehow missionaries don't need buttons, you know. Well, they're natives, they don't need buttons anyways. I'll just put my buttons in a jar. I might need them one day. I've got a whole jar of buttons, but I might need them one day. The things which were sent from you, watch this, an odor of a sweet smell. I'm in verse 18. An odor of a sweet smell, a what? What's the next word? A what? A sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice, David said, "I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing." You remember in the Old Testament, what kind of sacrifice did he ask from them? Did he ask for the little gimpy lamb that had a torn ear and a broken leg? Oh, I don't need that one anyways. No, he said the firstborn, the best. The best, with no blemishes, no spot, right? Isn't that what God asked for? Now, any of you, if you're an animal husbandry, you know you want the best for the breeding stock, right? Right? Because you want more bests, right? So that's faith. I'll give my best to God, and I'll trust him to take what's left and take care of us. Sacrifice. For it to be a sacrifice, it has to cost you something. And that's acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So they communicated with him concerning giving and receiving. They sent consistently once and again to his necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. He said, "You've even sent things, you've sacrificed." Their care was palatable. And that is the context for the promise, "But my God shall supply all your need." That was a promise made to a church that had a heart for missions. If this church and you individually, collectively make up Victory Baptist Church. I'll never forget about a little girl. This was years ago, back when they still had bottles here in America. Now they've brought them back, you know, by the Coke in the glass bottle. But, you know, back a few years ago, all the sodas were that way. All the soft drinks were that way. And some people would just throw the bottle out. And this little five-year-old girl said, "I want to give to missions." So she would go out every day after school, and she'd walk up and down the ditches in her neighborhood, and she'd collect bottles, turn them in for the 5-cent deposit, and that's how she got her missions money. 5 years old. Well, she grew up, married a man, and their church probably runs about 150, less than 200 people. About 4 years ago, they were given 600,000 to missions, then 7, then 800,000. Last year, they hit $1 million to missions, and there's no one in that church that is wealthy. They're ex-drug addicts, people that get saved, and they get saved, they get a job. Now they're not spending all their money on booze and cigarettes, and they say, "What do I do with my money, preacher?" He says, "Well, just give it to missions." And the old preacher that passed away, his dream was to see $1 million faith promise. Now, folks, listen, not every church can give $1 million faith promise. God gives to every man severally as he will, okay? So we shouldn't compare ourselves. But can I tell you something? I think that part of that vision started with a five-year-old girl who said, "I can do something." And you think her 5 cents a deposit, you think it was a large sum? Remember the widow? She gave 2 mites, but she gave more than they all. You know why? Because it was a sacrifice. Are you doing what God has put on your heart to do? Have you even asked him? Peter is not going to ask you, "What size television did you have when you get to glory?" Right? Was it a 72-inch? I mean, were the football players this tall? John is not going to say, "What kind of house did you live in? Was it a mobile home, or did you have a stick built? I mean, did you have brick on the front?" Peter, Paul's not going to say, "What kind of car did you have? Was it an SUV?" They're not. They don't care about that stuff. And we won't either once we get to heaven. But God's going to have to wipe away some tears. Because according to 1 Corinthians 3, there's wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. Our time is gone, but this promise, "God shall supply all your need." You can even find it in the Old Testament. You know the story. God tells Elijah to go to a widow woman. And she's getting 2 sticks. That's not a very big fire. And she has a handful of meal and a little oil in a container, a cruse, a little container of oil.
And she's got enough to make a little cake. And her hope is gone. Her money is gone. Her resources are gone. And she says, I'm just going to make it. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to starve to death. And if you've ever read about the process of starving to death, it doesn't happen quickly. Some cancer victims, they starve to death because their body can't process. And it's just a horrible, painful way to die. And here comes Elijah. And he did it because God told him. How do you walk up to a widow woman and say, give me a cake first? But he didn't just say, let me eat first. He said, God shall not suffer the cruse of oil to fail, the meal to fail, the cruse of oil to lack. He said, basically, you know what he said? He said the Old Testament version of, if you sacrifice, God will supply all your need. And she had to make a decision. Had she ever seen anybody with oil and meal that didn't waste and fail? Had she ever seen that before? You know the problem with why I think some of the reason why we might be losing our kids and we might be losing this next generation is because, you know what? They need to see the power of God, not only in the church house, but in their house. They need to see a mom and dad that care more about souls than who's playing the Super Bowl. They need to see people that have a heart for the things that God cares about. Can I tell you something? God doesn't give a rip who won the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you right now. I can just stand on the authority of the Word of God and tell you that. Football's not a sin, but when it becomes more important than what God says is important, now it's sin. Are we together? Zamveka, as we say in America, Zamveka, do you understand? Zoona, truth. And our children need to see mom and dad get a hold of God on their knees and see the power of God, not just on the preacher's life, but on their mommy and daddy's life, and they can say, there is a God in heaven. Can I remind you that the children of Israel saw God part the Red Sea? But they grumbled and they complained and they weren't happy and they weren't grateful. And what happened to their, I'm just telling you, what happened to their lives? They wandered in a wilderness for 40 years. Hey, we've got people today wandering in spiritual wildernesses and God worked in their children. But let me tell you something, guys. The reason I'm on the mission field, the reason why we don't ask for money, the reason why we've never published a need is because I saw a mom and a dad, and my grandfather was a drunk and divorced and remarried 8 times on my dad's side. On my mom's side, my uncle's God is Jack Daniels. His office is a shrine to Jack Daniels. My mama was raised in front of a television with TV dinners. Her mama didn't care about her, didn't teach her how to be a mom, didn't teach her how to be a wife. But God saved my mama and daddy when they were 16 and 17 years old. And they just believed God. And they just lived God. And I saw that God is real. I saw that there is a God in heaven. And when God said to me, I want you to preach, I said, yes, sir. And when God said, I want you to go to Africa, people said, hey, there's snakes over there. Duh. There's malaria over there. What's coming here now, too? You know, dengue fever, they're bringing it over the border. But I saw there was a God in heaven. And I just want to encourage you tonight that if you want to claim that promise, that God will supply all your need. Well, that promise was made to a church that cared about missions. It was an integral part. He said, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. They got the vision before anybody else did. I don't hardly know anything about your church. I'm just a visitor. I just stopped by. I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. But I just want to encourage you. Lay up treasures in heaven. No one will say when they stand before God, I did too much. No one. And there's going to be a lot of tears wiped away and people will say, I wish I'd given him more. Only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. A lot of us know about Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, 5 men who were killed by the... Just last year was the 60th anniversary. And it's still too true today as when Jim Elliot said, he's no fool, quoting Jesus Christ in Mark 8 and Luke. And he is no fool that gives, you know what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Young people, Even if the adults don't do it, you can get a vision. You can get a heart. Can I tell you something? God's looking for young people that'll say, here am I, send me. God may not send you to Africa, that's okay. He may send you across the street. But young people, God's real. And it is awesome. It is awesome to watch him use you. You, boy, girl, young, teenager, to watch him use you to make a difference in someone else's life for eternity. And even if the older people won't do it, you can. Bold evangelism, stand up for Christ. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks, because you won't care what your friends think when you stand before Jesus. So please him, love him, give him your life, give him your heart, give him your all. It's worth it. And there's nothing more exciting. You think it's cool, bungee jumping, skydiving, roller coasters, adrenaline, all that stuff? Mm-mm. Let me tell you where real life is. Abundant life is when you see God change somebody for eternity. And he uses you. He uses you. You. To make a difference. That's awesome.